Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for allowing me to share the scripture with you today. I'm so glad that you're listening. God is so good, and He loves each one of you. I understand if you're worshiping from home today with this virus all through our area. I completely understand, and I pray that this time encourages you. I'd encourage you to spend some moments, maybe after the sermon, if you haven't had a song time or if you haven't had a time of thanksgiving before watching this, once it's over, just to spend a few minutes maybe singing a song to the Lord, or if you don't prefer singing, maybe just spending some time in thanksgiving where you do nothing but thank Him for what He's done this week, this past week, and also in throughout your life, just to rejoice and thank God for the good things in your own personal life. And we, of course, call that worship. And so I encourage you, this is a time to hear God's word. I pray that you would each and every day allow God's word to minister to you in some fashion, and each and every day to praise God and thank Him for His goodness and His love for you. And today we're going to be in John chapter 10. And the title of my message this morning is The Shepherd Detector. Or maybe you could call it the leadership test. So in John chapter 8, a few weeks ago, we talked about the time when Jesus told believers that they needed freedom. And He said something like this, "And you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." He said that to believers. And so we all need to seek a deeper level of freedom in the Lord. He said also, "Before Abraham was, I am," revealing that Jesus is in fact God, the second person of the Trinity. And in John chapter 9, He tackles retribution theology, this idea that you good things happen to good people and bad things happen to bad people. And Jesus breaks that down. He addresses spiritual blindness. He asks us to seek humility so that we can truly see. And He addresses spiritual leadership. And right on the tail of that is where John 10 picks up. And the theme, again, once again, is spiritual leadership. And it's the natural progression from what Jesus has been living and teaching in the Gospel of John. You know, we need freedom, we need the truth, we need authentic spiritual leadership that's walking in the truth. And Jesus wants to be that leader for us. I pray that you see today that Jesus is the one who's asking us to follow Him. He's the one asking to lead, and He is worthy to lead, and He is able to lead. And so in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 2, the scriptures say, "I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep." You know, I want you to think about this. Jesus is saying, if you want to discern true spiritual leadership, Look for honesty. And Jesus is completely honest. And let me read those verses again. Think of honesty as I read these verses to you. "I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep." The one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. In verse 3, "The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." So here in verse 3, Jesus begins to tell a story about spirituality and shepherding sheep. He is alluding to how shepherds took care of their sheep through the night, or in times of danger, inside of a sheepfold or a pen. And there were these sheepfolds that were built on the back of homes in New Testament times, or under the main living floor, in an area that was dug out under the main floor of the home, in caves or in the mountains behind stone enclosures. These were all the pens, and there was a gate where the shepherd could enter in and come out. And as we know from scripture, sometimes the shepherd would sleep right across the opening of this enclosure. And so the thing that we have to remember when we hear this is, in certain times, shepherds would take their flock to a place where there were multiple flocks. Maybe through the night, maybe a certain shepherd, young shepherd, didn't have a pen of his own, but he was hired by another. And so at night he would go to someone's home who did have a pen built off the back of their home or underneath. And so multiple flocks would rest in the same place. And then the shepherds would come in the morning and they would give their shepherd's call. Each shepherd had their own unique call. And those who followed the shepherd knew that call. They distinctively knew that call. And they got up and followed the shepherd. So I want to encourage you today. Jesus knows your name. He wants to lead you on. He wants you to know his voice. He wants you to know his unique call, that when he is calling you, you know, we're in a place of real vulnerability when we don't know the shepherd's voice and we don't know the shepherd's call. And so we need to be attuned to the shepherd. Do we know his voice? Do we know what he's like? Do we know his call? And can we identify him in the early morning, maybe when it's still dark and the shepherd comes to lead his flock out? You know, can you identify his voice? And so verses 4-5, Jesus continues in his teaching. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They'll run from him because they don't know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They'll run from him because they don't know his voice. Voice recognition is an innate ability for sheep. It's key for survival for sheep. You know, sheep don't have much in the way of survival resources, but one thing they do, they can identify the shepherd's voice, the one who protects them that they walk with. And so this voice recognition, it's a survival skill. It's key for their existence. He leads them from the front. You don't read here the shepherd pushing his sheep out of the fold. You know, pushing them out, pushing them from behind, forcing them along. No, the shepherd leads from the front and calls them, come follow me. And that's what Jesus is doing in your life right now. Can you hear his voice? Can you hear his call? Come follow me. Let me lead you. I'm not going to push you. I'm just going to urge you to, by your own free will, to come and follow me and follow my direction in your life. And so he wants you to know his voice. You know, he knows where he's taking us. We don't have to worry. He knows where he's taking us. He has a plan. You know, we need to remember that today, that Jesus knows where he's taking us. We don't need to walk in anxiety and fear, but we know that he has a plan. He's calling us. He's leading us. He's leading us out. He knows where he's going. He knows where the next meal is for the sheep. He knows where the next drink is for the sheep. He knows where the nice sunny pasture is. He knows where the joy will be, and he's leading us. And so I encourage you today, ask God for more sensitivity to his spirit. Let's ask him for that even now. Lord Jesus, please make us more sensitive to your voice, more sensitive to your spirit. We truly desire this in Jesus' name. And so verses 6-10, those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant. So think about this. You know, Jesus has just accused the spiritual leaders of blindness in the previous chapter. Now he's teaching about what a good shepherd looks like. And those who are listening to this teaching, it says in verse 6, those who heard Jesus use this illustration about sheep didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. There's one of those I am statements from Jesus. We saw it a chapter before, Jesus speak I am. You know, before Abraham was I am, and how people picked up stones to throw. Now he's saying, I am the gate. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep didn't listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They'll come and go freely and will find good pasture. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. You know, he's the gateway for believers. He's a door of safety when protection is needed. Jesus is the gate. He's there to protect you. He wants to protect you. He's the way out. He's the way out when food, to where there's food and water and freedom. You know, he's the gateway to salvation. And I want to ask you, have you received Jesus as your Savior today? You know, we're not promised another day. Have you made that decision today? Have you received Jesus as your Savior? And it can happen real simply, just a heartfelt prayer. Lord Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. I confess that I've sinned against you. I ask, Lord, that you'd wash me clean. I receive the work that you did for me upon the cross. I believe in you. I give you the rest of my life. I want to follow you. Would you lead me on and be my shepherd? Would you save me? I want to be your disciple. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. And if you prayed that prayer, you've been born again. You're a disciple. You're a follower of Jesus. You've been born into the family of God. And I encourage you, pray that prayer with sincerity and then follow Jesus. Read his word and follow him. He'll teach you the way on. And so abundant life is what Jesus wants for us. It's what he desires for us. Let's look again at this scripture. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They'll come in and go freely and will find good pastures. You know, Jesus wants good pastures for you. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. You know, Jesus, we said this last week, Jesus, he didn't teach that much on evil, but he certainly acknowledged its existence and he warred against it. And so, but here is a place where Jesus speaks of evil, and he speaks of evil in the world. All stealing, killing, destroying, Jesus tells us, has its source in the enemy. You know, Auschwitz was not God's will. Rwanda was not God's will. The injustice that happens every single day, all the time, is not God's will. God's will is for peace. God's will is for goodness, for good pastures. He says the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy you. Please don't believe that lie that all these things were God's will, such as the Holocaust. You know, that is the devil's will. He's the one who came to steal, kill, and destroy. That is the work of the devil. And Jesus tells us that in John 10. God's desire is for peace to come. God's desire is for us to have life and to have it more abundantly. So that's not God's activity. But we as Christians are to join with Jesus. We acknowledge there's evil in the world. We know what its source is. It's the evil one. And we war against it. We pray the kingdom of God into earth. That's the way Jesus taught us to pray, on earth as it is in heaven. And so we pray against that evil. We work against that evil. We join with other believers to usher in the shalom of God on the earth. And at the end of the age, the enemy will be put down and the Lord Jesus will reign over heaven and earth. And that's the glorious thing that we celebrate. And Jesus wants you to experience his goodness now. Is spiritual goodness, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, that's being rich in the kingdom. If you have peace, you're rich. You know, that's an abundant life. And that's what Jesus wants for you today. And so continue on with me. And Jesus is teaching. He uses that phrase again. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. Now remember the title of this message, The Shepherd Detector, the leadership test. Jesus is telling us here, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. And so Jesus, again, he's telling us, you know, you can recognize authentic spiritual leadership when there's sacrifice. You know, he tells this story, and I don't think we spend enough time looking at this little parable. And so in this little parable, there are several characters. There's a sheep. There are sheep in this little parable. There's a wolf in this parable. There's a hired hand in the story. And there's a good shepherd. And so Jesus tells us this is how you understand the world. There are sheep in the world, us, right? There's a wolf in the world, the enemy. You know, we see his work every day and his deeds and the things that he does. He steals, he kills, he destroys. And so there's a sheep, there's a wolf, there's a hired hand. And we're going to see that the recognizing the hired hand is crucial. We're going to see in this passage. And then there's a good shepherd in Jesus's parable. And I want you to think about this. You know, think about this story. There are sheep. There's a wolf. You know, there's a real danger in the world. There's a hired hand, and then there's a shepherd. And in this story of the gospel, there are sheep. They're helpless because they've fallen in sin. They become weak. They can't protect themselves. They're under a curse. They're in a very real threat of danger and death. And the wolf in the story is ready to attack and to just kill the whole flock. And then there's a courageous shepherd and there's a hired hand. Now the hired hand is on the scene first, and the hired hand sees the danger and the hired hand runs. And remember where this scripture is in context. A chapter before, the religious leaders are ready to kill Jesus. And so hired hand runs away in Jesus's parable because he doesn't really care. They don't really care about the sheep. But in this story and the parable that Jesus tells, there's a courageous shepherd who lays his life down for the sheep. There's a courageous shepherd who gives his life. And in Jesus's little parable, this shepherd fights to the death for this little flock of sheep who can't protect themselves. This vulnerable little group that are in such a terrible place, this courageous shepherd steps in front of the wolf and fights to the death and ultimately gives his life to save the sheep. And that's the story of the gospel. And Jesus is saying to a whole group of people, what appears to be spiritual leadership is hollow. And how you can recognize true spiritual leadership is sacrifice. And Jesus is the true spiritual leader. He's the one calling us to follow him. And everything else, this buffet of spirituality that's all throughout our world, just pick a little bit of each and experiment and just make up your own religion. Jesus is saying that is so completely bankrupt. That's nothing real. But if you want a spirituality that is real, come and follow me. I'm the one who gave his life for you. I'm the one who continued to sacrifice for you. I'm the one who will lead you on. I'm the one who really cares. No one else really cares. That's what Jesus is saying. Not only have I formed you and created you, but I gave my very life for you on Calvary's Hill. What more could I give? I'm the one who really cares. And so that's the story. You know, this is drastic. We don't really realize how Jesus' stories are so intriguing. We get a few verses here. You know, recently I saw online, you know, this, I think it was in Utah. It was in Utah, and And there's a hiker, and this hiker was heading through a mountain pass, and he got near a mountain lion's den and cubs. And this mama mountain lion, she backed him down a road for 6 minutes. I mean, it was fierce. She was fierce. And I couldn't believe it. You know, before you watch it, it's easy to find online, but before you watch it, there is some swearing in there, and where the guy who's being chased is saying, "Hey, I don't want to die today, bleep, bleep, bleep," you know, that kind of deal. So you might want to turn the volume down. I'd recommend that. But you see this fierce mountain lion. And I was watching this video and just seeing how incredibly fierce this lion was. And Scripture reminds us, you know, that beware. Peter tells us to walk in wisdom and to walk in prayer and spiritual discernment, because there's a raging, roaring lion out there that wants to devour you. And truly, without the good shepherd, we're helpless. And so in this story, this scenario, maybe it's a poor hiker. You know, maybe there's a mountain lion on the loose. Maybe there's a hired, someone who's been hired, you know, to take people on hikes and through the mountains, who doesn't really care. It's just a paycheck. And then there's the courageous, you know, maybe in this context, maybe it's a courageous park ranger who, you know, the tour guide runs in fear and the park ranger stays and fights. And Jesus is saying, I'm the one who will stay and fight for you. And you can find safety in me, and I really care. I love those words in verse 13. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. And Jesus is the one who really cares. He really cares about you. And so verse 14, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. Just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep." That's what the cross was all about. "I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." They'll listen to my voice, and there'll be one flock and one shepherd. You know, did you ever stop to think that Jesus really knows you? I mean, truly knows you. He knows everything about you, what really drives you, what excites you, what makes you mad, your favorite things. There are a few things in my life when I see those things, they're reminders to me that Jesus loves me, and he's sharing again his love for me. And I pray there's a few things that when you see them, they're just reminders. Hey, God loves me. He really loves me. He knows me. God doesn't get disillusioned with you, because he didn't have any illusions in the first place. You know, he truly knows you. He knows what you struggle with. He knows where you're at, and he loves you, and he wants to lead you forward. He wants to lead you on. So, and be encouraged today. He loves you. He made you. And I want to ask you this question. This is the challenge today. Do you know him? Do you really know him? Because he's inviting you to know him. Do you know what he loves? You know, if you really know someone and you're really close to someone, you know what they love. You know what makes them upset. You know what encourages them. You know what brings them down. You really know them. And so do you know God that way? And his desire is for you to know him. His desire is that the eyes of your heart would be opened, enlightened, that you would know him, truly know him. And so I challenge you, read the Gospels. Read the Gospels and ask to know him better. Before you read, just ask and say, "Lord, I want to know you better. Will you teach me more about you, Jesus?" And so knowing all that, remember, he gave his life for you. He's committed to you. You know, in verses 16 and 17, it tells us here, you know, Jesus said, "I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold. He's speaking about the Gentiles. He's speaking about the Samaritans. He's speaking about all races, all every tribe, tongue, language, nation. He has a desire for each of them. They're going to be part of his sheepfold as well. And I must bring them also, and they'll listen to my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. In 17 and 18, he says this in closing, the Father loves me because I sacrificed my life so I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to and to take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded. When he said these things, the people were again divided in their opinions about him. Some said, he's demon-possessed and out of his mind. Why listen to a man like that? Others said, this doesn't sound like a madman. This doesn't sound like a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? And so Jesus here, he's speaking of the resurrection. The Father loves me because I sacrificed my life so I may take it back again. He's speaking of the resurrection. It's the most important thing about Jesus. The most important thing about Jesus, Bible scholar Luke Timothy Johnson says, the most important thing about Jesus is that he's alive. And if he's alive, then he can show up on your doorstep. If he's alive, he has a plan for the world. If he's alive, he's still working, he's still moving, and he's still leading. He's still shepherding. The most important thing about Jesus is that he's alive. And so we should take time every Sunday to remember the Lord's Day, that this is the day that Jesus rose from the grave. Every Sunday we remember that. You know, worship for the early Christians switched from Saturday, which is Sabbath, to Sunday, which was a work day for them. It was completely inconvenient. It was Monday morning for them. I mean, it was time to get to work. It was the first day of the week. It was time to launch out and work, and said, no, we're going to worship. We're going to change our worship day from the convenient day to the inconvenient day. We're going to change our worship day to the day that Jesus, day of the week that Jesus rose from the grave. So every week we should remember, every Sunday we should remember Jesus is alive. He's alive. He's still moving. He loves you. He's for you. He wants to lead you. He wants to be your shepherd. And he says that sacrifice is a sign of authentic spiritual leadership, and he wants you to follow him because he proved his love for you. He paid the price for you, and he wants to lead you. He wants to be your shepherd, and he wants you to know his voice so you can trust Jesus with your very soul. You can trust him. He's trustworthy, and he's honest, and he loves you. Lord, I pray that you would truly bless everyone watching. I pray you'd encourage him. I pray you'd lift their heads. I pray that you put joy in them, laughter in their lives, encouragement in their lives. Let them know that you're near. Let them feel your presence, feel your spirit. For those who are struggling watching right now, I pray that they would be healed in Jesus' name. Pray for those who are discouraged that they would have joy in Jesus' name. I pray for those who are facing insurmountable odds in so much pressure. I pray that you would bring breakthrough. And Lord, I pray that we would all rejoice knowing that you love us today. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for watching. Please tune back in. Invite someone to join in. We want to reach this city. We want to reach as many people as we can with the word of God. God bless you today. And if you've prayed that prayer today, if you've given your heart to Jesus today, I encourage you, if you'd email me, tim@hopespringsonline.com. God bless you today. I want to encourage you.